The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards with another edition of the Armchair Traveler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And over the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer and the Washington Post. Before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the Triangle Radio Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles we will be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Age, change, and growth. Three of life's ongoing challenges that none of us can avoid, though some of us might dare try. And when you consider age, change, and growth in the life of a community, you will find myriad possibilities, perhaps best illustrated by words I myself have uttered. In the case in point, years ago I took my young daughters to visit one of my favorite rides on the city playground where my grandmother lived in Concordia, Kansas. They loved the double-dip slide, as I did, only I remember it being much taller and longer when I was a kid, and so it goes. Well, I suppose such childhood memories are just part of the romance of life, and I suspect a lot of us have rather romantic notions about those places we enjoyed in our past journeys. Recently, in his weekly column, A.C. Snow, editor emeritus of the now-defunct Raleigh Times, offered a romantic snapshot of the capital city. Now, his commentary was headlined, "Raleigh is one of the most romantic cities around, especially in spring." It appears in the March 3, 2019 issue of the News and Observer. And this will set the stage, by the way, for what's coming next. While rambling through the Internet, I came across an article that listed Raleigh as the second most unromantic city in America. How does someone measure a city's romance level? In springtime, Raleigh is one of the prettiest cities I've ever visited. Consider Cameron Village, for example. The late developer, Willie York, years ago, must have taken seriously poet Sarah Teasdale's instructions to spend all you have on loveliness. Never count the cost. In 1950, while constructing the first suburban shopping center between Washington, D.C. and Atlanta, the late York didn't just throw up a bunch of stores and apartment buildings. He included generous amounts of greenery and flowering plants and shrubs that beautify the residential and shopping center. When springtime burst upon us in mid-February, the pear trees were ablaze with pink blossoms. I silently cautioned the bluebirds darting in and out of our birdhouses that winter may not have had its final say, but to no avail. The birds even dared to bathe in the icy water in the patio birdbath. I glanced out the window one day recently at dusk to see six deer grazing peacefully on our back lawn. They, too, undoubtedly felt the tug of springtime and romance on the move. Well, that brings us to some interesting commentary that's coming up, for I suspect most of us take a lot for granted when it comes to living here in Raleigh. How often do we really see how age, change, and growth have affected where we live? Writer Melanie D.G. Kaplan visited our city a few months back and later described what she experienced as part of the "You're Going Where?" column published in the January 16, 2019 issue of the Washington Post. I want you to see if her eye-opening observations prompt you to maybe take another look at the place you call home. She writes, "This progressive point on the research triangle is brimming with public spaces, full of art and a subtle sense of coolness." We begin. Sneaky cool. That's how goldsmith Lauren Ramirez, a transplant from San Francisco, described Raleigh to me when I popped into her jewelry studio in late November. It was the same morning that I saw a man break dancing on the middle of the street before 8 a.m. and one day after I'd made an impulse purchase that sparkled like a disco ball. "It sneaks up on you," Ramirez said about the city's cool factor as her dog Alfred sat at my feet. She moved to Raleigh on a whim 5 years ago and wasn't sure if she'd make it. Then her business took off, and now she appreciates the city's small-town feel and to the extent to which locals support each other. I hadn't visited Raleigh for any length of time since I was a kid, but had a sense that it was a staid state capital, the cultural underdog of the Research Triangle, its other points being Chapel Hill and Durham. As I biked around, eating, shopping, and talking to locals, I realized that if my assessment wasn't already outdated, it would be soon. The city of Oaks is growing swiftly with a population of nearly 500,000. As I explored, I found a progressive city in a state that often isn't, a place full of public art and bike paths and a university-inspired hub of innovation and design. Locals are at once excited about growth and worried about how it will change their city. After 3 days, I wanted more Raleigh. I stayed an extra night and then an extra hour the next morning waiting for Bolted Bread to open. The windows of the bakery were steamy, and I was second in line. I left town with a bag of pastries on the passenger seat and my new super cool purchase in the back. Glitter track pants from Edge of Urge had snuck into my life. I love them already. Then she goes on to point out some local faves, as she calls them. Hey, other cities, just try to outfest one-day street festival with more than 100 bands on 7 stages. Last September, it attracted 223,000 fans, with jams taking over entire hotel floors and music spreading to all parts of the city. The festival is part of the International Bluegrass Music Association's convention, which moved here from Nashville 7 years ago. A week of shows, instrument workshops, and awards. During the rest of the year, you can join the well-attended music jams organized by Pinecone, Wide Open Bluegrass's local promoter. These knee-to-knee traditional music sessions are free for participants and spectators alike. For a calendar of live music every day of the year, check out this website, themostnc.com. That's themostnc.com. How can you go wrong with a brewer, baker, and killer chocolate maker, a creative partner who happens to be the Avent Brothers cellist, and a general manager who happens to be a popular local DJ? Transfer Company Food Hall is a gorgeous new gathering spot and food space in the oft-overlooked east side of town. Built in a historic Carolina Coach bus garage, Transfer's centerpiece is a huge lug-nut-shaped bar. Open now, Locals Oyster Bar, Che Empanadas, and Asheville's Burial Beer. By the end of the month, Benchwarmers Bagels from the Bolted team. In the spring, Videre Chocolate Factory will move its production here with space for class and a test kitchen. Summer will bring Saxapahaw General Store, the first grocery in the neighborhood, along with a calendar of music, gardening, and nutrition events. Also, check out Morgan Street Food Hall, which opened last summer. Now, she includes some guidebook must at this point. The book bot at NC State's Hunt Library is hands down the coolest thing I saw during my visit. From the lobby of this award-winning STEM library, you can watch the robot zip down giant aisles and fetch a book barcoded in minutes. And by the way, STEM is capitalized all STEM, meaning science, technology, engineering, and math. This Jetsons-like design enables the library to hold 2 million books in one-ninth the space of traditional stacks. And that has made room for large museum-quality spaces for students to sit, read, write, study, and collaborate. It's open to the public, too. Also, there's a collection of more than 80 types of chairs, quirky, modern, comfy, posh, retro designer, in 100 colors. In the Seriously department, the chairs even have their own website and book. On the tour, I saw a game lab, visualization lab, virtual reality space, maker space, gorgeous top floor reading room, and quiet room where you can still sniff books from a real shelf, if that's your thing. Free tours every Friday and Saturday, except around the holidays and exam time. On a mild Sunday, I biked with a new friend to the North Carolina Museum of Art's 164-acre Ann and Jim Goodnight Museum Park on the city's western edge. We pedaled around a 3-mile path that connects to the Greenway, passing strolling families, happy dogs, a pond with a stunning viewing platform, and a few dozen art installations. There's a 46-foot stainless steel tree, a massive naked human form, a giant patterned pig that you can enter via an airplane-style staircase, and a sculpture made entirely of crowd-control barricades. Rebelliously, we biked off-path to cruise through local artist Thomas Sayre's 3 gigantic earth-cast rings. We couldn't help it. Just being in the park makes you feel like a kid. Check the schedule for park hours in a summer outdoor concert series. Past performers have included Earl Scruggs, Roseanne Cash, Wilco, and local fave Tiff Merritt. The Free Museum has the Southeast's largest collection of Renan sculptures and hosts Art in Bloom, a spring festival with floral interpretations of the museum's pieces. Now, how about eating? Well, here we go. Some local faves. Always a good sign. A meat eater fancying a vegetarian restaurant. At the Fiction Kitchen, a colorful downtown spot, I ran into Mitch, who owns legendary Mitch's Tavern across from NC State. Although he's not a vegetarian, he's a regular here on Tuesdays, half-price bottle of wine night, and a big fan of the popular Eastern North Carolina-style barbecue, pulled faux pork. The small restaurant, which doesn't take reservations and fills up quickly for dinner and brunch, has bright walls and a bar decorated with collages of old magazine pictures. I ordered the seasonal risotto with grilled balsamic marinated king trumpet mushrooms and a basil pistachio feta sprinkled with house-made cashew cheese. For more excellent veg fare, try Garland, owned by local darling and indie rock star Cheetah Kumar, and Irregardless, where David Sedaris worked for 9 months in 1980. Walking around a new city, getting lost, chatting up strangers, and scribbling in my notebook is exhausting. I'm usually ready for lunch by 10:30, so the mid-morning kolaches at Carol's Kitchen really hit the spot. The hockey puck-sized sweet rolls, one spinach and feta, the other apple butter and brie, were warm and satisfying, and the mission behind the food made me feel even better. The nonprofit restaurant employs women transitioning from homelessness, incarceration, or abuse. It also provides job training, helps in securing housing, and teaches life skills. The grab-and-go restaurant, which has a line out the door at lunch, also serves sandwiches, wraps, salads, and soups. A second location recently opened at Morgan Street Food Hall. Also in the Eat Well, Feel Good department, a place at the table, a volunteer-staffed Pay What You Can cafe, where you have the option of paying it forward for another patron. And then she's offering some guidebook must. One night I gathered five local friends at the Buzzy Brewery Havana, a striking high-ceiling place that houses a little flower shop. You can build your own bouquet and a small bookshop. There's a vast lending library to enjoy while dining, including Tennyson's poems and A.I. Weiwei's art and the 1,364-page compact edition of the Oxford English Dictionary, should you find yourself debating a definition over dim sum. The brother and sister owners, who grew up in Laos, also own Bidamanda next door. Over dinner, my friends talked about their city, and we shared beautifully plated items such as scallion pancakes and edamame and ginger dumplings, and I wanted the food and conversation to last all night. On tap, a citrusy IPA, a chocolate rice stout, and a mango peppercorn saison. Almost without fail, locals suggested I eat at one of James Beard Award winner Ashley Christensen's restaurants. In 2007, the chef opened her first restaurant, Pool's Diner, which remains a favorite. One night, I grabbed a red bar stool and swiveled around to the green horseshoe-shaped Formica Bar, a relic from its mid-century days as a pie shop and luncheonette. On the chalkboard menu, which changes often, was pickled pumpkin with burrata, pimento cheese with fried saltines, and a 10-ounce Royale with aged provolone. My late-season heirloom tomato pie was scrumptious. Portions are generous. The vibe is relaxed and welcoming. On one end of the bar sat a man in flannel and a baseball cap. On the other, three well-dressed Danish men in town for work and eager to compare travel notes. They'd gone skydiving and target shooting, which I didn't add to my list, but when their macaroni au gratin arrived, I gazed longingly. Pools is open every day until midnight and doesn't take reservations. Looking for kid-friendly? Well, try Christensen's Beasley Chicken and Honey or Chuck's, her burger joint. Now, how about shopping? Well, here's some local faves. For the record, I loved Edge of Urge even before I bought myself that pair of glitter pants. I mean, what a coup when you discover both llamanos, dominoes with llamas, and hats that read, "Failure is an option," up the street from Krispy Kreme in the hip Person Street neighborhood. Edge of Urge carries apparel, artsy accessories, and playful gifts, like the wedge-shaped notepad with a cover that reads, "Gouda Ideas." Ooh. You can find quirky pea-sized earrings with celebs' likenesses, Jason Alexander, Dolly Parton, the Obamas, as an example. Women's coveralls, men's Red Wing boots, and Superfly toddler threats like Beastie Boys and Bowie baseball t-shirts and Vans the size of Roma tomatoes. Check out the North Freakin' Carolina shirts. All proceeds go to help feed kids impacted by Hurricane Florence. And if you're flying into town, stop in Root and Branch, Edge of Urge's new airport shop, a collaboration with hip downtown Shop Deco. At Oak City Cycling Project, you can buy a new or refurbished bike, accessorize your ride, or simply hang in the groovy underground garage space and gab. You can also tinker with your own bike using their workspace and art tools for $5 an hour. Best of all, you can sit at the bar and enjoy a local cycle-themed beer like Unicycle Pale Ale from Crank Arm, a brewery in the Warehouse District that organizes a weekly group ride. OCCP, as it's known, is a short spin from the Greenway and the beautiful Oakwood, don't miss the cemetery, and Mordecai neighborhoods. The shop rents hybrid and mountain bikes, host a free bike maintenance class, and offers a third Thursday cruiser ride, affectionately known as the slowest ride in town because all cyclists and speeds are welcome. Then we have some guidebook must for you. At some point, while browsing the velour V-neck sweaters and button-up polyester shirts at Father and Son Antiques, I wondered if anyone in town was hosting a Saturday Night Fever party that night. Well, this vintage furniture and clothing shop in a beautiful new space in the Warehouse District has treasures for our most fab decades. I found a Royal typewriter in pristine condition, mid-century modern lounge chairs, a Kelly Green Izod dress, Western shirts, Sears overalls, a pair of white beaded fringed moccasins that I'm sure came out of my middle school locker, and a Dukes of Hazzard tee that my tween self might have coveted. If you're looking for less curation and more bargains, try the Raleigh Flea Market, open every weekend. Well, people walk into Stitch and say, "Oh, I love that smell," a sales associate told me. They don't realize it's the new car smell, but that's what it is. Holly Aiken graduated from NC State's College of Design and Setup Shop, making vinyl bags and wallets in fun retro colors with simple geometric shapes. In addition to being cow-friendly and durable, the bags can be cleaned with pretty much whatever household cleaners you have on hand. Think 409 or Magic Eraser. Yay, vinyl. The bags are hand-cut in the store, and custom orders with mix-and-match styles and colors are the same price as the in-store bags. Customs a cinch with the online design of bag feature. Spend any time in Raleigh, and you'll start seeing Aiken's bags around town. Don't miss the bluegrass-themed totes during wide-open bluegrass. And let's talk now about places to stay, local faves. If you were in Raleigh two Februarys ago, you might have seen an 1880s house rolling across town. Its owners, a young urban planner architect husband wife team, relocated and expanded the historic house, and with the support of local artisans and friends, created 13 guest house in Raleigh, a stunning lodging option sorely needed downtown. The 8 guest room house has a vibe that's more boutique hotel than bed and breakfast, although European continental breakfast is included, with Scandinavian furnishings, gorgeous original floors and beams, skylights, vaulted ceilings, and French doors to private balconies. Off-street parking is complimentary, and some rooms are wheelchair accessible. For a more traditional hotel, try Marriott's Trendy Aloft, which offers 15% discounts for friends and families of NC State students or prospective students. And here's a guidebook must. Nestled up against Umpstead State Park in Cary, North Carolina, the Umpstead Hotel and Spa is luxurious and serene, and the staff is impeccably hospitable, even if you're just strolling around in cycling clothes. The 150-room hotel is owned by local billionaire and businessman and philanthropist Jim Goodnight and his wife, Ann, who is responsible for curating the property's 95-piece art collection. If you're feeling particularly flush, make reservations at award-winning Herons and ask for the Art Tour, a multi-course tasting menu that pairs artfully created dishes with pieces of the collection. A custom Dale Chihuly blown glass sculpture, for example, inspired an exquisite dessert course with pulled and blown sugar shards. The Umstead, which sits on a three-acre lake, hosts afternoon tea with a live harpist and offers complimentary yoga and bike tours. If the opulence stresses you out, take a deep breath and listen to the waterfall in the meditation garden just outside the spa. And what about exploring? Well, here's some local faves. Raleigh's Bike Share just launched in December. 70% of the fleet is electric, making it even easier now to bike the Capital Area Greenway, more than 100 miles of paved paths throughout the city. One place to start is downtown at Little Rock Trail, accessible from John Winters Park or Chavis Park. From there, you can take the Greenway to the North Carolina Farmers Market, open daily. Or you can bike by Dorothea Dix Park, Pullen Park, kids love the $1.50 train ride, and NC State. If you're down for a longer ride, head across the nifty Wade Avenue pedestrian bridge over the Beltline Interstate 440, at which point you'll be OTB, outside the Beltline, to the North Carolina Museum of Art and Umstead State Park. You can even bike to Durham, almost entirely on bike paths. Locals also love the Neuse River Trail, a scenic 27.5-mile uninterrupted stretch on the east side of town. Hop on from Falls Lake in North Raleigh, where you can rent wheels from Bike Guy. Horseshoe Farm Nature Preserve or Anderson Point Park east of downtown all have plenty of parking and bathrooms. And here's a guidebook must. If you visit Raleigh by train, you'll roll into the $88 million Raleigh Union Station located in the Warehouse District. Arguably the liveliest part of town, the neighborhood of former industrial buildings on the west side includes the new Morgan Street Food Hall, barbecue at the Pit, chocolate at Federi, and contemporary art at Cam Raleigh. And the hours are limited. Shop at Raleigh Denim Workshop if you want very soft, high-rise skinny jeans for $245. And Sorry State Records if you're adding to your do-it-yourself punk and hardcore vinyl collection. And Urban Outfitters recently opened in the Dillon, a new office and residential tower, and Weaver Street Market, a regional co-op, will open there in February. For great views of the city, head up to the Dillon's ninth floor lobby and step out onto the terrace or walk across Boylan Bridge at sunset and ask a local to point out the shimmer wall at the convention center. And, by the way, our writer, Melanie D.G. Kaplan, is a freelance writer. She is based in Washington, D.C., and her website is MelanieDGKaplan.com, MelanieDGKaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N.com. So, Melanie, we greatly appreciate your perspective of our capital city. Give us some insight here for the locals. Well, I suspect most of us take a lot for granted when it comes to living here in Raleigh, and how often do we really see, as I say, how age, change, and growth have changed things, and it's good always to hear another point of view. And I have to admit that Ms. Kaplan's article makes me want to get out and take a closer look at the changes taking place around the capital city. I also know that many of you likely want to travel a little further. Well, Lena Rourke Hayes is here to offer some suggestions in her article, From Great Lakes to the Grand Canyon, Memories That Last. And this was published in the February 3rd, 2019 issue of the Raleigh News and Observer. So shall we begin? And her family travels column begins with Northern Arizona. The Grand Canyon National Park is celebrating a big birthday in 2019, so why not join the centennial celebration? Millions visit this wonder of the world each year to marvel at the mile-deep gorge, exploring by foot on a mule, or capturing the vast beauty with a camera or the mind's eye. Stay on the South Rim, where year-round access is possible, and you'll have access to ranger programs, dining options, and stunning views. Explore other regions in northern Arizona for hiking, biking, and a history lesson along Route 66. Take in the stunning beauty of Monument Valley, the petrified National Forest, and the picturesque Red Rocks of Sedona. Pose for a photo while standing on a corner in Winslow. Ride horseback at a guest ranch or rent a houseboat on Lake Powell. Lots of online information available at visitarizona.com. That's visitarizona.com. Also, nps.gov/GCNP. nps.gov/GCNP. And finally, GrandCanyonLodges.com. That's GrandCanyonLodges.com for more information about traveling in Arizona. We move on now to Niagara Falls, New York. Hear it roar and feel the mist, but don't worry. Ponchos are provided when you board the iconic tour boat, the Maid of the Mist, to feel the power of the historic falls. Formed some 12,000 years ago, Niagara Falls, straddling the U.S. border with Canada, has long been a magnet for explorers and adventurers, as well as honeymooning travelers. By day, explore the area from multiple angles, via lush nature trails, a water-skimming jet boat, or high-flying helicopter. Inside the Niagara Falls State Park, visit the observation tower for a panoramic view of the three main falls, American, Bridal Veil, and Horseshoe Falls. Each night, the park offers an illumination of the falls along with seasonal fireworks. More information can be found online at NiagaraFallsUSA.com. NiagaraFallsUSA.com. How about the Bahamas? Well, that's where we're headed. You'll find lavish resorts in a bustling enclave or quiet getaways on tiny spits of sand, all just 50 miles off the coast of Florida. Choose your preferred sun-drenched environment from among 700 islands embraced by crystal clear water and the world's third largest barrier reef. Visions of snorkeling, diving, saltwater fly fishing, ecotours, horseback riding, kayaking, or just relaxing on soft sandy beaches will provide plenty to compel your family to plan a visit to this breathtaking archipelago. And you can get more information online at Bahamas.com. That's Bahamas.com, B-A-H-A-M-A-S, Bahamas.com. Now on to our neighbor, Tennessee. The Volunteer State is within a day's drive of 65% of our nation's population. There in Tennessee, you'll find natural beauty, great music, and vibrant communities ladled with a dose of Southern hospitality. And by the way, just for you Raleighites, it's about an 8-hour drive if you're headed toward Nashville, and about 10 if you're going to Memphis, and about 6 if you want to go to Knoxville, just to give you some something to consider as far as driving goes. Anyway, enjoy the 800-square-mile wonderland that is the Great Smoky Mountain National Park for hiking, horseback riding, and fishing. You can add a musical note to your trip with a stop by Graceland to see how the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, lived and worked, and of course that is located in Memphis. Spend time in Music City, USA, otherwise known as Nashville, to discover the rich origins of country music. Visit the Grand Ole Opry and the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum to learn how folk, gospel music, and front porch jamming evolved into the sounds that we know today. Nature-loving families may want to consider a hike on the John Muir Trail in the Cherokee National Forest. It's a relatively crowd-free portion of the state that's said to look much the same as it did in Muir's day. And for more information on this traveling to Tennessee, you can try tnvacation.com. TN, of course, is the postal abbreviation for Tennessee, tnvacation.com. And finally, Michigan's Upper Peninsula is also on Leonard Warkase's list here. A four-season playground for nature lovers, Michigan's UP nudges up against three great lakes, Superior, Huron, and Michigan. That said, water and beach activities are plentiful, with kayaking, sailing, and fishing as warm weather staples. Inland, visitors venture along rivers that feed the great lakes, explore old-growth forests, and fly fish small streams. From the Porcupine Mountains, just a few miles from the shores of Lake Superior, and considered one of Michigan's most wild landscapes, adventurers can hike from the summit to the shore in one day. And during the winter months, snowmobiling, skiing, snowshoeing, and ice fishing are popular pursuits. All available online with plenty more information for you, Michigan.org. That's simply Michigan.org to take a look at Michigan's Upper Peninsula and its travel opportunities. Wow. Well, we've covered a lot of turf today. We certainly thank you for being with us, that you've enjoyed your journey. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and I must remind you the content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. Comments and questions may be directed to 919-832-5138. Bye-bye.